Good morning, Emmanuel. Welcome to this, our service, on the last day of the year, 2023. And we look forward to 2024, I hope. To those listening by our recorded ministry, we trust that you will feel part of our service and enjoy the words of Robert, our minister, who leads us this morning, and that you also look forward to the year ahead. Our reader this morning is myself, and the reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. There are no notices apart from two reminders in this last week's weekly news, which was a double issue, and that is on Sunday, the 7th of January, we are here. On Sunday, the 7th of January, we will have a service of amalgamation to celebrate the joining of Highworth and Emmanuel. And secondly, our next meeting of tea and chat will be on Tuesday, the 9th of January, when you are encouraged to bring a friend, meet new people, have a cup of tea and a nice biscuit, and enjoy a good time. There is one additional notice, and that is dates the 15th to the 20th of January. We are hosting once again a pantomime. This year it's called The Wizard of Watt. If you have a mind and make yourself available to purchase the tickets after the service in the foyer, you would be very welcome to do so. Before I light the Christ candle, can I take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy new year in the words of a Scottish toast. So if you don't understand the words, John, you're excused. Then we will bear with us. May the best you've ever seen be the worst you'll ever see. May a moose never leave your girnel with a teardrop in his ee. May you aye keep hale and hearty till you're old enough to dee. May you aye be just as happy as we wish you aye to be. I now light the Christ candle when we'll have a few seconds to prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning and welcome all of you to our service today. Mike, I don't know what you said just now at the end. John looked very serious and I was worried until I looked over to the choir and there was somebody who did understand what you were saying. Her sides were splitting with laughter, so I'm at two minds of what went on here just now. But it was good to hear. Well, Hogmanay is today, isn't it?
Most definitely. Edith knew exactly what I was saying.
I didn't mention the name. Now you've mentioned it. It's on the recording now, so. Psalm 148 says, "Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven." And we are part of that. Whether we qualify as the young women or the young men or the old, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference of what our bones are telling us or what our mind is telling us. We are here. We will be praising the Lord and we will be celebrating with the world who today gathered at different times and in different places, in different languages, but one spirit. We are God's people and may God's name be exalted in heaven and earth. And this leads us to the first hymn from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 135, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Seated, and at this time of the service, let us share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. thank you, dear God, for what we have received. We thank you that we can set apart what is in the plate or what we give in different ways, and ask that our time, our talents, our possessions, our whole being, guided by the Spirit, may proclaim your love to this world, this time and always. Amen.
Amen.
And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. This is the one candle I would like not to have to light, because it would not be necessary. But in the world today, it is the one candle that urgently needs our prayers and our thoughts, the peace candle, for what is on in the world that we know of and that we don't know. May that light shine and break every form of darkness. Amen. Let us join in prayer, and we will end with the Lord's Prayer all together. Lord, every once in a while, according to the calendars, the last day of the year is a Sunday. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. And as Mike reminded us just now, may the difficulties that have passed be the worst. Lots of hard times, lots of difficult moments. Those of us sitting here today have gone through, those we know and love have gone through. But at this time, we acknowledge that being true is part of life and not the whole of life. We don't want to forget and give thanks for those who have made us laugh, for shared moments, for the new things we have learned, for each step that we have taken. We thank you that more than once during this year we have realized that we aren't alone. That not everything depends on wonderful moments, but sometimes what changes us for the better are the simple moments of silence, of company, when nobody knows what to say, but we don't know what to say together. That we have discovered that in many ways we can be that small light that shines and makes a difference. For those prayers that we have said, or have been said for us. And what a joy it is to know that we aren't alone, that there are people who care and remember. They may not be able to change what we're going through, but just simply knowing helps us get through it. For those who have lifted our spirits, and for those who have helped us keep going, we thank you, dear God. Give us eyes to see and a heart to recognize. And in humility, we bring before you our mistakes, our wrongdoings, the difficulties, the harsh words we've said. Lord, in the silence that follows, we offer our prayer of confession. And with our confession, the assurance that we are loved by you. A love that knows no boundaries. The love of the Father who waits and even at a distance sees us and runs towards us and embraces us. The Father that calls a party. A party to which all are invited, even if they're in a huff. Loving God, be with us and be with this world. We pray, O God, as your children, your daughters and your sons, and we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir is armed with torches, torches that will shine the way, and they will sing, and we will rejoice in their singing. Torches, by the way, is the name of the anthem the choir is about to sing for us. Torches shine the way, and the light will spring from our Bible reading this morning. As Mike announced, he will be doing it, and it's from Luke chapter 2.
You will find it on page 56 of the New Testament section. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord: a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike, very much. And from Sing Praise now, it's hymn 25. "Arise, shine out, your light has come, unfolding city of our dreams." Brian Wren hymn.
The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveller. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though, as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by. And that has made all the difference.
Thank you, Steve, very much. God of promise, you renew your gift to those whose faces are lined and hearts are filled by the passage of years. Give us grace with Simeon and Anna to see beyond the surface to where the Spirit shows the face and heart of God in Jesus Christ, the given child. Amen. I just want to say, Steve, I didn't ask you to read that simply because it says somewhere along the poem, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. We can all relate to what this poem says, and I pray that wherever we are in life, we can look back and say that one day we took the road less travelled, and that made all the difference. The first draft of what I'm going to say today, I suddenly realized when I looked at the calendar in front of me, was December the 28th. The day we remember the massacre of the innocent. And that set a tone that I couldn't get out of my mind. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you came in via the chapel, there is stuck on the wall, on the glass there, two photographs. One is a painting called exactly that, The Massacre of the Innocent. French painter, 1828, I think it is. And before, below it is a photograph taken from a newspaper, which is practically a replica of that. It's a photograph taken in Gaza last week. Today is the last day of what has been a complicated year, but if we're honest, what year has not had its complications? A year where we've asked many questions, where we have lit the peace candle every Sunday. Not only the Christ candle, also the amnesty candle. They're just reminders of the light that is needed. Many questions have been asked, and we're still wondering where answers may be found. The babe born in Bethlehem is just a week old, in a way oblivious to what is going around him. And yet, the last words of the reading, he will grow in wisdom. We cannot pretend that all is going well, but like Simeon and Anna, we have been waiting, and we wait not in desperation, but in hope and in prayer. I don't know if you did the mental arithmetic as you were hearing the reading or have done it before, but Anna, give or take a few years, is nearly 100. She's been a widow for 84 years. And diligently comes to the temple. Simeon gives thanks that the promise has been fulfilled, that he will not die before he has seen the glory of God. They have prayed, they have waited, because they know, they believe that something will happen. And like them, we not only want things to be better, we need things to be better. But in the same story, though not in the Gospel of Luke, we have this guy named Herod, who really messes things up, doesn't he? Herod, who will soon begin a campaign to murder the innocent. And that's all happening at once, as the world situation is all happening at once. And the reading today, in a way, is quite shocking. It's quite different from some of the carols we've been singing. There isn't always harmony. There isn't peace in the story. We are advised, we are warned that there is turmoil going round. And we know that there will be those who recognize this Jesus, and there will be those who reject this Jesus. And even Mary is told that it will be like a sword that perforates her heart. That Mary that will be standing at the foot of the cross. There will be those who for the first time will be welcomed, accepted, recognized, and loved. And there will be those who will walk away feeling dejected or threatened. There will be those who have never felt they were privileged, and those who felt that they owned privilege. And they will be reminded that it's probably not so. Who is this child? Where are we in relation to this child? These are the questions that we've been asking probably all our life. And in a few hours, we will enter a new year. I remember we used to always celebrate New Year with three or four families coming together back in Argentina. And all from the from church, all from the English-speaking community. And Marina's birthday is today. She's about the age of my sister. And the tradition, and I think it's an Italian tradition, and it's at midnight you eat 12 grapes for each chime. Sorry? Español. So it comes from España, and a great, and okay, Mediterranean, and then you, on the last one, you all sort of lift your feet up from the chair where you're sitting, and then on the first second of the new year, you put the correct foot with which you want to walk that year. I don't know if anything happened, but we did this every year. we needed to ask questions and we wanted things better to happen. But the reality is that the coming of Jesus will cause division and still causes division. In a comparable way to that of the prophets of old, and they caused division. You've often heard me say, none of them, or most of them, didn't die of old age surrounded by children and grandchildren. Jeremiah, we never know where he was buried, but he went into exile. And others, probably their ministry was for a very short time. Others went on for years and years and years and years and years, and so much so that Jesus takes the word from Isaiah 700 years before him to proclaim what he is coming to do. Simeon had waited years for this moment, and his words are words of joy and celebration. But he points out the reality. This child is going to be the cause of division. The falling and rising of many, a sign that will be opposed, and the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And yes, this is what happens, and it even happens within the churches. Those who for centuries have felt that it's their right to judge and condemn. You're not like us, so you're in the wrong. Whatever that is. And those whose mission it is to show love and caring without asking questions. Jesus will show the divine reversal. As we hear in Mary's Magnificat, as we hear in Jesus' teaching, as we see in his reaching out to others, the Beatitudes, that certainly turns the world upside down. Or his meeting with the Samaritan woman by the well. A Samaritan woman. Come on, John, couldn't you have started the story of Jesus' mission in a more inclusive way than choosing a woman who was a Samaritan? What else? Oh yes, there was. True, the man you're living with isn't your husband, and you've had plenty of those around. There we are. If it had been a bingo, that was the time to shout out. And what? She becomes the first to proclaim, I have found him. I have found. And she goes and tells everybody, and they ask him to stay. A Samaritan, a woman who probably the whole town despised. What's he talking about? What's he doing? The poor, the women, the lepers, even touch them. The stranger, the foreigner, was it going through his mind that early on in his life, very early on, how many times did he hear the story? Do you know, Jesus, when you were still a baby, we had to leave the place and go to Egypt. Mommy, Daddy, in the synagogue they say that Egypt was a place where we were slaves. Why would we have gone back to Egypt? Because the alternative, dear Jesus, was your death if we didn't. It doesn't make sense. Did he remember all that when he welcomed them? When there was no question asked and love was scattered widely. And those who, despite their wealth, find in Jesus a new and wonderful life and were able to discover that there was something in life that they hadn't seen yet. This is clear in what Mary says. This is clear in Anna's welcoming words. And Simeon. The scandal of Simeon's words, he will be a light to the Gentiles. God forbid the Messiah comes for us, not for them. And Luke, who not only writes the Gospel of Luke, but also the book of Acts, and tells us very clearly and very openly that even the eunuch is received, that even the foreigner will be welcome, and that the basis of the new community is loving and sharing. And then there are those who will reject Jesus for exactly those same reasons. Well, Jesus is used. Yes, used to cause division, because I am right and you are wrong. They will work against everything Jesus represents, yes. Sadly or not? Sadly or not? Probably not. Jesus does represent the reversal of a lifestyle. And those divisions are necessary because they show us the way of the kingdom. Just think of the divisions we live with in the world today. Was race an issue for Jesus? Do you ever remember him talking about that? Was the place or the country you were born something by which you were allowed in or expelled out? What language you spoke? Mike, you would have been out, I think, after your words when you began the service today, except for two other people who would have welcomed you. But then they would have probably had to go out as well with you. How dare he speak this language? And Jesus spoke Aramaic, and though our New Testament is written in Greek, that's not the language. Greek wasn't what he spoke. And there are only two, three words in his native language in the New Testament. And I'll go back to the Samaritan woman. True. Many of the husbands you've had, but the guy you're living with now is not your husband. So please don't talk about me in the same situation in which you talk to that illegal, immoral situation you're living. No, he doesn't. And the church brings out that she was the first that announced it, as when his death, it'll be the women who run and proclaim. Nowhere does Jesus ask anybody how they live their sexuality. But the church has made, many churches have made that, the rise and fall of many in the world. Sadly, people haven't been able to see in Jesus that which brings us together. Jesus' life and his ministry have become offensive and a cause of division. But are they the right divisions? And sometimes I believe they are. If they're based on justice, on love, on inclusivity, in caring, that's good. That's what the kingdom is all about. Those who rejected him and continue to reject what is inclusive, that caring, that the call of justice are God's promises to the way of the kingdom, that's the mission. That is what Jesus wanted to show us. That's why people will rise and fall. We are still in the spirit of celebration of the birth of Jesus. The Advent candles are still lit. And the celebration is an invitation for us. Please, please, take sides in this situation. Take the side of love. Take the side of hope. Take the side of building up and not tearing down. Who we serve and how we do it. The side of inclusivity or the side of exclusion. Do you remember a few years ago our Christmas cards came by the people who were helped by the Harbour Project? Remember, we had they came to us soon before Christmas, and they brought their Christmas cards, and we were moved by their story. The message will not be easy for some to accept, but that same message is the key that opens the door to hope, to understanding, and to love. The problem is not the division. The problem is the side that the world chooses today. Well, human life is not worth the money that is made by selling arms or exploiting. That women and children can be used. That's not the side we want. That is not the side of the kingdom. So my prayer for this last day of the year, as we enter the new year, in words that you have heard before, my prayer for us all and for this world is, may the Spirit guide us to discern the truth, the way, the life. That Jesus said, I am this, the way, the truth, the life. Amen. From Sing Praise, hymn 259. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Let us have a time for our prayer of intercession, where we open our hearts, our thoughts, to others for this world. We come to you alone. We come sometimes burdened by pain and worries and fears, sometimes with lots of questions searching for answers, and sometimes when the answers come, confused by what we hear. Dear God, the year is ending, but this is not the end of time. Tomorrow, in a few hours, a new year will begin. And whether it is for better or for worse, I don't know for the moment. We'll have one more day next year. And those whose birthday is the 29th of February will finally be able to celebrate it. The gift of, practically the gift of eternal youth. But we also know that close to us, even far away, there are those who have experienced unimaginable suffering, pain and sadness. What we know, what we can only guess. Loving God, we also listen to that cry from the back of the church. Do you know, God, each time it happens at the right moment, doesn't it? It speaks to us of the future. But a future which is also present. For of those, such as those, is the kingdom of heaven. So whether the people that we pray for are nearby or far away, people we walk with often, and people we haven't seen for a long time, we come today. And we ask, O Lord, that you be with all those who are close to our heart now. And in the silence that follows, it may be a little bit longer than usual, we want to bring those names that are on our hearts at this time. And we pray, dear God, for those in power, whatever form that takes, for those who are fearful of offending those in power, but worry not about offending the little ones. We pray for the church, that it may learn to love and serve and care beyond measure for those whose lives are dedicated to help others in hospitals, in schools, in homes, and those who are in areas of conflict where there is no water, no food, or no security. Lord, we pray that your will be done, and give us, in all humility, the capacity to be part of your will. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And our closing hymn from Sing Praise. Sorry, Rejoice and Sing. Rejoice and Sing. Hymn 161. Good Christians, all rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give good heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. In the inside of the front cover of the hymn book we've just used, the sound and bravery. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, and may our lives bless you, and our meditations glorify you. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love. Lead you through the doorway to a new year with new hope and the promise of life in fullness for all people may be built moment by moment. Go in that peace. Amen.